Anyasamapi jayayam trayaputrasam putamas tamaso raivata iti manvantara radhikatyaha. Translation. Purport by His Divine Grace of Acharananda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. In his other wife, Maharaj Priyavrata begot three sons named Uttama, Tamasha and Raivata. All of them later took charge of the manvantara manelium. Please repeat. In his other wife, Maharaj Priyavrata, he got three sons named Uttama, Tamasha, and Raivata. All of them later took charge of Manvantara millenniums. In every day of Brahma, there are 14 Manvantaras. The duration of one Manvantara, the lifespan of one Manu, is 71 yugas, and each yuga is 4,320,000 years. Almost all the Manus selected to rule the Manvantaras, they came from the family of Maharaj Priyavrata. Three of them are particularly mentioned here, namely Uttama, Tamasha and Raivata. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Chananjanan Shalakai Chakshuram Vikapandina Tasmai Shri. Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here the time scales, they get so big like they're beyond our comprehension. The day in the life of a one Manvantara, Lord Brahma's one day. The lifespan of one Manu is 71 yugas, and each yuga 4,320,000 years. And in Daksha, who's reading about Daksha, how he was the so attached to that position, actually, of being a progenitor, he, after he was killed by Lord Shiva, he did meditation during the lifespan of five Manvantaras. And then he was able to appear in Ki. I can't remember which avatar it is. Maybe Swayambhuva, eh? No. Anyway, people formed Vasarata for five lifetimes of five different Manvantara avatars. It's an awful long time. Simply to get the post of being Daksha progenitor. So, they didn't mind doing that. Interesting. Any questions? Be a progenitor, we're not even prepared to wait one lifetime. So the story is recorded here of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he was born to a king, a big Jamindar, who owned vast amounts of properties. He was immensely wealthy. And he used to give so much money for the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, charity. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, even though he gives so much, he supports all the Vaishnava community in that part of West Bengal still. Not much bhakti there, a little bit, but not so much. But Raghunath Das was completely different. But he was renunciation personified. He wanted to run away and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, but his father would always have him brought back, send his guards out and bring him back. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri, and Srupa Damodar Maharaj and Ramananda Roy would stay with him, reciting different poems about Radha and Krishna, and this way they would pacify him a little bit. And he says he didn't manifest his feelings of separation internally because he was fearing his devotees would be unhappy. So when the devotees were there, he showed that he was okay. But at night time again, he would go back to his feeling of separation. So, it's interesting how the end of his lifetime, especially the last part of Mahaprabhu's life, he was just absorbed in Lila Smaranam, remembering the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. With Srupa Damodar and Ramananda Roy, they would constantly remind him, or whatever mood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in, they would back him up with different songs of the pastimes of that particular mood and help him relish his own ecstasy, which was the primary reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. It was a selfish reason to taste his own ecstasy or to taste his devotees' ecstasy, especially the greatest devotees, Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he assumed a sentiment and color so he could understand, you know, how much love my devotees have me. What is about me that's so attractive? What is it? What do they feel actually when we're engaged in our loving exchanges? So Krishna couldn't understand these things. So therefore he manifested himself as Mahaprabhu so he could actually relish these feelings of his devotees. Simultaneously it was time to spread the Yuga Dharma of Harinam, so he accomplished two things. So the main reason was his own selfish motivation. He wanted to relish that. Rasa. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there in Puri, relishing, and especially when the devotees from Mayapur would come, Navadvip, who used to go there every year for the Rath Yatra, and Mahaprabhu would greet all the Bengali devotees, and so when they came, Mahaprabhu came, although he was with Ramananda Roy and Srupa Damodar, engaged in relishing his own ecstasy. When his devotees come, he would go out with them. They would go out in Naga Sankirtan, they would go to Jagannath Mandir, do Sankirtan there. They would, all the different pastimes of the Lord, going to these devotees' houses every day to eat prasadam and different pastimes that were going on. Mahaprabhu immediately accepted that to please his devotees. But when they left, then he go back to his internal ecstasy. So it's interesting how Krishna is so considerate to his devotees. He came for this. He could have been completely absorbed, but he would have been oblivious to anyone else or most other people who couldn't understand his condition. Radha Prema, who can understand? So the devotees would be bewildered, and he would be oblivious to everyone. But he didn't. He come. And he related to all of his devotees. And they did the Harinam Sankirtan preaching and spreading the holy names. But as soon as they left, then he will go back again into his meditation. So how kind Krishna is. He came for this purpose, to relish his own ecstasy, but when his devotees came, he gave that up for a while, and then he would be with the devotees all the time and serve the devotees. Anyway, Raghunath Das, he was always running off to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu said, don't be so restless, you go back home, when the time is right it'll be okay, but right now the time is not right, so he would send him home again. But still he couldn't, he's always trying to run away from home. His father had soldiers, guards watching him day and night, and generally they'd always catch him before he run off. So one time he came to see Nityananda Prabhu at Panihati, because Raghunath Das wasn't living far from Panihati, Shapta Adigram. It's about halfway in between here and Calcutta. So it wasn't far from Panihati. So he went to see Lord Nityananda there. So Raghunath Das is running away. He said this became almost a daily affair. He would run away almost daily, but his father would again bring him back. Then Raghunath Das' mother spoke to his father as follows. Our son has become mad, she said. Just keep him by binding me with ropes. His father, being very unhappy, replied to her as follows. Raghunath Das, our son, has opulences like Indra, the heavenly king, and his wife is as beautiful as an angel. Yet all of us could not tie him down his mind. How then can we keep this boy at home by binding him with ropes? It is not possible, even for one's father, to nullify the reactions of one's activities. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has fully bestowed his mercy upon him. Who can keep home such a madman or Chaitanya Chandra? Then Raghunath Das considered something in his mind. The next day he went to Nityananda Goshai. In the village of Panihati, Raghunath Das obtained the interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who was accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants and others. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seems as effulgent as hundreds and thousands of rising suns. Many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him. Seeing the influence of Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das was astonished. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place. And the servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, there is Raghunath Das offering you obeisances. Hearing this, Nityananda Prabhu said, you are a thief. Now you have come here to see me. Come here. Today I shall punish you. The Lord called him, but Raghunath Das did not go near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head. Lord Nityananda by nature was very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows. You are just like a thief, for instead of coming near, you stay away at a distant place. Now that I have captured you, I shall punish you. You make a festival and feed all of my associates yogurt and chipped rice. Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased. Raghunath Das immediately sent his own men to the village to purchase all kinds of eatables and bring them back. Raghunath Das bought chipped rice, yogurt, milk, sweetmeats, sugar, bananas and other eatables and placed them all around. As soon as they heard a festival was going to be held, all kinds of brahmanas and other gentlemen began to arrive. Thus there were innumerable people. Seeing the crowd increasing, Raghunath Das arranged to get more eatables from other villages. He also bought 200 to 400 large round earthen pots. He also obtained 5 or 7 especially large earthen pots. And in these pots, the Brahman began soaking chipped rice for the satisfaction of Lord Nityananda. In one place, the chipped rice was soaked in hot milk in each of the large pots. Then, half the rice was mixed with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. The other half was mixed with condensed milk and a special type of banana known as champakala. The sugar, then sugar, clarified butter, and camphor were added. So they have ghee in there also, mixed with clarified butter. After Nityananda Prabhu changed his cloth for a new one and sat on a raised platform, the Brahmana brought before him the 7 huge pots. On that platform, almost all the important associates of Lord Nityananda, as well as other important men, sat down in a circle all around the Lord. Among them were Ramdas, Sundarananda, Gadadhardas, Murari, Kamala Lakara, Shadashiva and Purandara, Dhananjaya, Jagadish, Parameshwardas, Mahesh, Gauridas, and Bodha Krishnadas were also there. Similarly, Udaranadatta, Thakur, and many personified associates of the Lord sat on a raised platform with Nityananda Prabhu. Nobody could count them all. Hearing about the festival, all kinds of learned scholars, brahmanas, and priests went there. Lord Nityananda Prabhu honored them and made them sit on the raised platform with him. Everyone was offered 2 earthen pots. In one was put the chipped rice with condensed milk, and in the other one the chipped rice with yogurt. All the other people sat in groups around the platform. No one could count how many people were there. And each and every one of them was supplied 2 earthen pots. One of chipped soaked rice, and the other one soaked in yogurt, and the other one, two pots of chipped rice, one soaked in yogurt, the other soaked in condensed milk. Some of the brahmanas, not having got a place on the platform, went to the bank of the Ganges with their 2 earthen pots and soaked their chipped rice there. Others, who could not get a place even on the bank of the Ganges, got down into the water and began eating their 2 kinds of chipped rice in the water. Thus, some sat on the platform, some sat at the base of the platform, some on the bank of the Ganges, and they were all supplied 2 pots each by the 20 men who distributed food. At that time, Raghav Pandit arrived there. Seeing the situation, he began to laugh with great surprise. He brought many kinds of foods cooked in ghee and offered to the Lord. This prasadam he first placed before Lord Nityananda and then distributed among the devotees. Raghava Pandit said to Lord Nityananda, "For you, sir, I have already offered the food to the deity. But you are engaged in the festival here, so the food is lying there untouched." Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, "Let me eat all this food here during the day, and I shall eat at your home at night. I belong to a community of cowherd boys, and therefore I generally have many cowherds associates with me. I am happy when we all eat together in a picnic like this on the sandy bank of the river." Nityananda Prabhu made Raghav Pandit sit down and had 2 pots delivered to him also. There were 2 kinds of chipped rice soaked in them. When the chipped rice had been served to everyone, Lord Nityananda Prabhu in meditation, he brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived, Lord Nityananda Prabhu stood up. They then saw how the others were enjoying the chipped rice, yogurt, and condensed milk. From each and every pot, Lord Nityananda Prabhu took one morsel of chipped rice and pushed it into the mouth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a joke. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also smiling, took a morsel of rice and pushed it into the mouth of Nityananda. And he laughed as he made Lord Nityananda eat it. In this way, Lord Nityananda was walking through the groups of eaters, and all the Vaishnavas standing there were seeing the fun. No one could understand what Nityananda Prabhu was doing as he walked about. Some, however, who were very fortunate, could see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also present. Then Nityananda Prabhu smiled and sat down. On his right side, he kept 4 pots of chipped rice that had not been made from boiled paddy. Well, they boil the paddy, or they partially boil the paddy, the unhusked rice. Then they dry it in the sun, and then they put it in the deki, or that pressing machine. Flatten it. So that rice is called siddha, or if they half pre-boiled rice, half baked, is called siddha. They call it in Bengal siddha. But according to the Shastra, it's impure because it's already been cooked or half cooked. And so if it's cooked food, it starts to ferment. So it's not considered very pure. So here he had, seems like everyone was eating the siddha, but he also had some the other one that was made without soaking it first, anyway, they have sun-baked rice, atok chal, govindabhog, like that. So it was made from without being boiled rice, so therefore it's considered more pure. However, the Bengalis love siddha chal. And Prabhupada said, I never took siddha chal in my life until I joined the Gaudiya Math. But then the Gaudiya Math, they liked it. So actually, Chai Pitaka Maharaj wrote a letter to Prabhupada and said, as we were growing here, we call it fat rice at that time. It was very fat. It was fish rice. Some people called it the horrible smell when you boil it up the second time. So it smelled like fish. Right, but the Bengalis, they like to eat it. They're famous for liking fish anyway, so they got the and rice, so they get a rice smelly like a fish. Anyway, he said, Srila Prabhupada, in the letter, that so we're also growing this rice, we're making siddha chal, and so we shouldn't take it, Prabhupada, it's not pure. And then Prabhupada said, yeah, I first took siddha chal when I joined the Gaudiya Math. He said, but you can, because my Guru Maharaj was also eating it. And he had others to eat it. So you can offer, and you can also eat it. But Bengali devotees were happy. At one time, about 10-15 years ago, we had... in the Brahmacharya Ashram, we made a Govinda bhog, a high-class bhog. Generally, it's called atok chal, sun-baked rice. Govinda bhog, basmati, good quality, nice scent. So some devotees saying, you know, we should have... The other rice is considered impure according to the Shastras. We should have Govinda bhogs. Okay. Everybody hates Govinda bhog, so... After 2 days, all the Bengalis saying, you know, we're not hungry, we're hungry. We're not getting any satisfaction from the Govinda bhog rice. We give us our siddha chal back, give us our fat back. So, they couldn't function without these siddha chal. So still today goes on. Anyway, it's bona fide by our Guru Parampara. Lord Nityananda Prabhu offered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a place and had him sit down. And together the two brothers began eating chipped rice. Seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating with him, Lord Nityananda became very happy and exhibited varieties of ecstatic love. Lord Nityananda Prabhu ordered, all of you eat, chanting the holy name of Hari. Immediately the holy name of Hari, Hari, resounded, filling the entire universe. When all the Vaishnava devotees were chanting the holy names, Hari, Hari, and eating, they remembered how Krishna and Balaram ate with their companions, the cowherd boys on the bank of the Jamuna. So that's what Nityananda just revealed. I like this picnic because cowherd boys are cowherd boys. Me and my friends, we do this every day. We have a picnic on the bank of the Jamuna. We have our lunch, tiffins, and also they... Well, Krishna has rice. He has that rice mixed with fruits and yogurt. That when in Brahma Vimaha Lila, Lord Brahma came to see Krishna, and Krishna was, where's my cows and calves gone? Standing there, he had that rice mixed with yogurt and fruits. That's what he was holding actually at that time. So he used to take that also as a tiffin at noontime. he was just saying, where are my cows gone? And the yogurt was dripping through his. Lord Brahma came along and he saw this little boy looking for his cows with the yogurt dripping in his fingers. And this was after Lord Brahma had just been completely bewildered. And Lord Brahma said, you look like a little ordinary village boy. Looks like you don't have sufficient education. You're standing before me with a flute and a cane in your, and a bugle in your belt, and you've got decorations and from the minerals, and you're holding a lump of sweet rice with yogurt in your hands. And it looks like you don't have sufficient education even. You look like a village. But there's so much difference between your body and my body. I just cannot comprehend. I cannot comprehend. So Krishna takes it every day that we make also here every day for Radha Madhavan. Rice, not chira, but rice. Mixed with fruits and some sweet. So that was as Krishna's daily, one of his daily foods. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are extremely merciful and liberal. It was Raghunath Das's good fortune that they accepted all these dealings. Who can understand the influence and mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu? He's so powerful that he induced Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and eat chipped rice on the bank of the Ganges. All the confidential devotees, who were cowherd boys, headed by Ramadas, were absorbed in ecstatic love. They thought the bank of the Jamuna, of the Ganges, to be the bank of the Jamuna. So many of those associates we just read about were the associates. Gauri Das Pandit was there, that's Shubhal Shaka. Yeah, we just mentioned many of those. So they're all in there, get in their Shakya mood when they're having these pastimes. It's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he leaves. He has that meal at home, at Sachimata's house, and he leaves with Nityananda and all the devotees. They go on Harinam Sankirtan. And they're going down, by the bank of the Ganges where Gangadas is tall, is the area. And then they see there's all peacocks flying around making sounds. Meow, meow, meow. And then they see all the cows are grazing, white cows. And Mahaprabhu gets into Muda Vrindavan. This corresponds with his Goshlila, when Krishna leaves the house with all the boys and all the cows. So similarly, Navadvipayapur, the same pastime, or almost same, time is going on. And so it's the same time as they go out with the cows in Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu's in this mood. So everybody picks up on it. Oh, his mood is Vrindavan, Shakira. So they all assume their mood of Shakas, the cowboys, and they're herding the cows and they pick up sticks and they start doing, hey, hey, hey. Let's go off the Govardhan, let's go off, calling the cows, Shamalai, Dubalai. So they're just like when they're out with all the calves. So wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is in, the others will pick up on it to assist him in these pastimes. This is the business of a devotee. Whatever the mood the Lord is in, he wants to assist him in expanding that. And then later they go to Godroma Dweep. And all the Goshas live, that's a place of trees and cows, Godroma. Trees and cows, all the Goshas live there, the cowherd men. So Krishna goes over there and he starts playing with them, they carry him in his shoulders, Mahaprabhu. They say, you're not a Brahmana boy, you're one of us. You must come tomorrow. And we'll take you and we'll give you some more sandesh and rasgullas. We have so many things in our house, yogurt. Because we keep all the cows, we got so many preparations. So you come back tomorrow and play with us. You're not actually a Brahmin, you're one of us, you're a cowboy. So they would pick up on it. They would help him also, all the inhabitants of Gokodrumadi. When the shopkeepers of many other villages heard about the festival, they arrived there to sell chipped rice, yogurt, and sweetmeats and bananas. As they came bringing all kinds of food, Vaganath Das purchased it all. He gave them a good price for their goods and later fed them that very same food. Anyone who came to see how these funny things were going on was also fed chip rice, yogurt and bananas. After Lord Nityananda Prabhu finished eating, he washed his hands and mouth and gave Raghunath Das the food remaining in the four pots. There was food remaining in the three other big pots. Lord Nityananda and the Brahmana distributed to all the devotees, giving a morsel to each. Then a Brahmana bought flower garlands, placed the garlands on Nityananda Prabhu's neck and smeared the sandalwood pulp all over his body. When the servants brought betel nuts and offered them to Lord Nityananda, the Lord smiled and chewed them. With his own hands, Lord Nityananda Prabhu distributed to all the devotees whatever flower garlands, sandalwood pulp and betel nuts remained. Same in Krishna Leela, we find when Krishna wakes up in the morning, you read Krishna's daily pastimes and activities, and the servants come and bring him, he does a little bit of meditation and offers something in the fire of sacrifice, because he's a householder, so he does all these things, and then different people come to see him and give him gifts. And then what's left, he gives to all of his associates, especially Uddhava. So you see, Uddhava always wears Krishna's mahaprasad. He wears yellow cloth, of Krishna. He wears, he takes all the mahaprasad, the garlands of Krishna. He has a blackish complexion also. He has Sarupsiddhi. And he's almost identical with Krishna. When he went to Vrindavan, the Gopis saw, oh, it's Krishna. Krishna's come. No. Got a yellow dhoti in there. When he came close, they understood, oh, it's not Krishna. But he has this Sarupsiddhi. He's got his eternal form, just like Krishna's, blackish, beautiful. He wears Krishna's same dress as Mahaprasad out of love for Krishna. So he's very much identical. Of course, he's a cousin also. So Mahaprabhu would do that. Krishna would do that. He'd give them all the garlands, all the betel nuts, chandan, all the excess after he had taken whatever he wanted, and he would distribute to all of his devotees. After receiving the remnants of the food left by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das, who was greatly happy, ate some and distributed the rest amongst his own associates. Thus I have described the pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu in relation to the celebrated festival of the chip, rice and yogurt. Nityananda Prabhu rested for the day, and when the day ended, he went to the temple of Raghav Pandit and began congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Raghav Pandit's temple and house is very near to Paniyati, very close. It's in Paniyati. Lord Nityananda Prabhu first influenced all the devotees to dance, and finally he himself began dancing, thus inundating the entire world in ecstatic love. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was observing the dancing of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu could see this, but others could not. The dancing of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, like the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cannot be compared to anything within these three worlds. No one could properly describe the sweetness of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's dancing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came to see it. After the dancing and after Lord Nityananda had rested, Raghava Pandit submitted his request that the Lord take supper. Lord Nityananda Prabhu sat down for supper with his personal associates and made a sitting place on his right side for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and sat down at his place. Seeing this, Raghava Pandit felt increasing happiness. Raghav Pandit brought the prasadam before the two brothers and thereafter distributed prasadam to all the other devotees. There were various types of cakes, sweet rice, fine and cooked rice, and fine cooked rice. Everything happened. Oh, payasam. Sweet rice. I mean, payasam. Sweet rice and fine cooked rice. Oh, shaliyana. Shalya Anna. Anna, Shalia Anna, Shalia. There's a rice called Shalidam. Sometimes it's called Shatika, Shasti. Shasti, they call it Shasti rice. Shasti means frozen 60 days. Shatikacha. Maybe that one. Shatikacha. It's Radharani mentions it. She says, I am the only thing I have to do is to reciprocate with Krishna's approaches, to embrace him, but I don't. Lalita's always told me to play hard to get and he shouldn't come near me. All I ever want to do is embrace Krishna, but she's taught me this art of what do we say? Playing hard to get. Playing hard to get. But all I ever want to do is embrace Krishna. He's my lover. That's all I ever want to do. She said, I'm just like this Shasti Dhanya, this rice. Even when it's ripe, it doesn't come out the shell. If you leave rice, it'll come out the shell eventually. But this rice, even though when it becomes ripe, it stays in the shell. It doesn't. So she said, I'm like that. The only thing I want to do is come out and give myself to Krishna, but my friends tell me I should be reserved and play hard to get, so I'm encased like this Shasti child. It doesn't come out. It won't come out, even though it's ripe. That's all I want to do. Still, it won't come out. The comparison Radharani was making. Raghava Pandit. The food prepared and offered to the deity by Raghava Pandit was like essence of nectar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there again and again to eat such prasadam. When Raghava Pandit offered the food to the deity, after cooking he would make separate offering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? That's Raghava Pandit who would Mahaprabhu was praising about how he serves his deity and the types of prasadam, and he brings the dove coconut on his head from it. Is that Raghava Pandit? I believe so. Somewhere, Chaitanya Charita. And Mahaprabhu was praising Raghava Pandit. He said, I'll tell you one thing, one savor about the dove, the coconut savor. Just I'll give you one example, but he has unlimited qualities and the way he serves his deity. He said in his garden, he has thousands of coconut trees, but he doesn't take any of these coconut because there's a village about 20 miles from him that has this really sweet dove, coconut. So he has one servant go every day, walking 20 miles to this distant village to have this nice dove, even though he's got thousands of trees in his own garden. And then he offers this to Krishna because it's the best. He wants to give the very best to Krishna, even though he's got millions of coconuts in his land. But he goes all the way, and he said the servant was carrying one, and he came back, and he touched the top of the door with a coconut. And Raghava Pandit, he started to chastise his servant. The dust comes up and from the feet and it settles everywhere, and you touch the top of the door with a coconut, and now we want to offer to Krishna this contaminated coconut. He rejected all of those coconuts. He said this is the intensity of his purity and devotion in service to his deity. He says he gets those coconuts and he cuts them and he cuts a little hole in it and he presents it to his deities. And then afterwards he takes it and he cuts it open and he takes all that malaya, that cream inside, that malaya they call the soft coconut, tender coconut. Tender coconut. He takes all that, scoops it all out, and again he offers that separately in bowls to his deities. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, sometimes when he gets the coconut, there's no water in it. And he's very happy. Because Krishna Samsur, my deities have taken it. He takes the coconut out after offering it, but all the water's gone. But Krishna's deities have drunk all the coconut. He says, oh, he's very pleased. So the standard of deity worship was so great that Krishna would personally take all the water. Every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat at the house of Raghava Pandit. Sometimes he would give Raghava Pandit the opportunity to see him. Raghava Pandit would go there every day almost. It says also Sachimata. Whenever Sachimata cooked, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to take that prasadam. And Mahaprabhu, he sent a message from Puri that when you see my mother, tell her I come every day and take the food, the offering she's making for me. She shouldn't be feeling separation. I come every day. You can tell her that the day before yesterday I came and ate all the food, and then she come out and she said, where's all the food gone? There's nothing left. Did I offer it or not? Did I offer it? I thought I offered it. Maybe I didn't offer it. Oh, I better cook again. He said, no, I came and ate it, but you was wondering whether you cooked it, but I came and ate all that. So Mahaprabhu, wherever Shatimata would cook, Mahaprabhu, that's one of the places he would always reappear. Raghava Pandit would bring and distribute prasadam to the two brothers, feeding them with great attention. They ate everything, there were no remnants left. He brought so many presentations that no one could know them perfectly. Indeed, it was a fact that the Supreme Mother, Radharani, personally cooked in the house of Raghava Pandit. Srimad Radharani received news from Devasa Muni, the benediction that whatever she cooked would be sweeter than nectar. And that is a special feature of her cooking. She had this benediction from Devasa Muni. It's a different Devasa Muni from the angry one who Vishnu chased around the universe, the chakra chased him. Not that one, another one. Anyway, he satisfied Vishnu Mataraja, so he gave her a blessing that anything you cook would just like nectar. So Jasoda is the queen of Vrindavan. So when they found out about this boon, she said that now Radharani has to come every day and cook for my Krishna, because she's cooking like nectar. And Krishna should only take the best nectar. She must come every day and cook. But Chitila, she says she won't let her go out the house. So Yogamaya Onamashi, she says to Chitila, you have to cook for Radharani. Jasoda is the queen of the village, and it's the duty of everyone to abide by her orders. You have to. And Purnamasi is the guru of the village. So the guru is ordering. You have to. She said, whatever Purnamasi says, you have to obey. Whatever Jasoda says, you have to obey. All right. So she finally agrees, okay, I'll let Radharani cook for Krishna. But Krishna shouldn't be around, you know that. And then Kundalata brings her to Krishna's house. I'll take care of her, Jatila, you don't worry. He won't even see her shadow. I'll protect her so nicely. You don't have to worry about that, Krishna, don't worry. We'll be protected from her. So in this way she gets the excuse every day to go and to Jasoda's house and cook all these things for Krishna. Maybe she's making that sweet rice also. Rohini also helps specifically with the sweets. But otherwise Radharani is cooking. She has, how many stoves there? How many stoves she has? 500 or 500 something. Is it? Something like that, 100 or 500. Pavlochan told me that was just a sample. Actually, there's more than that. But Radharani goes there with her friends, and there's all these stoves in this big kitchen. And all her friends are assisting her, and they're stoking up, putting the fire and everything on the wood, grinding all the spices, and they're cutting all the vegetables. And Radharani's running from one pot stove to another. She's got all these pots, she runs, mixing and putting this in and putting that, and she's sweating, running around. So eventually she makes it's mentioned in the Bhogartik song. Sukta Sakaya Divaji Nalita Kushmanda Dalidanga Dukta Tambitadi Muchatam Mutka Bhara Masapara Roti Kakritana Chapati Zangi Shaskuli Pistaka Kira Puli Paya Shana Puli Paya Spaya Sweet Tambaja Jan Jambalara Salayani Kapura Amrita Kelly That nice sweet with camphor Kapura Amrita Kelly Ramba Kira Shah Sahakehi Krishna Chandra. Anyway, all those preparations, that's it. What Krishna, that's a big feast he makes every day. So thousands of preparations. And Prabhupada said Radharani's been cooking for Krishna since time immemorial. She never made the same preparation twice. She always wants to add a new flavor, a new. For Krishna's pleasure, she always wants to enhance the flavor. So never made a preparation twice since eternity. So Srimati Radharani received from Devasamuni the benediction, whatever she cooked be sweeter than nectar. That is the special feature of her cooking. Aromatic and pleasing to see, the food was the essence of all sweetness. The two brothers, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, ate it with great satisfaction. All the devotees present requested Raghunath to sit down and take prasadam, but Raghava Pandit told them he will take prasadam later. After all the devotees took prasad, filling themselves up to the brim, thereafter chanting the holy name of Hari, they stood up and washed their hands and mouth. After eating, the two brothers washed their hands and mouths. Then Raghava Pandit bought flower garlands and sandalwood pulp and decorated them. Raghav Pandit offered them betel nuts and worshipped their lotus feet. He also distributed the betel nuts, flower garlands and sandalwood pulp to his devotees. Raghav Pandit, being very merciful towards Raghunath Das Goswami, offered him the dishes with the remnants of food left by the two brothers. He said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has eaten this food. If you take his remnants, you'll be released from the bondage of your family. The Supreme Personality of Godhead always resides either in the heart or the home of a devotee. This fact is sometimes hidden and sometimes manifest, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully independent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all pervasive and therefore he resides everywhere. Anyone who doubts this will be annihilated. In the morning, after taking his bath in the Ganges, Nityananda Prabhu sat down with his associates beneath the same tree which he had previously said. Raghunath Das went there and worshipped Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. Through Raghava Pandit, he submitted his desire. I am the lowest of men, the most sinful, fallen, and condemned. Nevertheless, I desire to attain shelter at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon, I have tried my best many times, but I have never been successful. Every time I tried to go away and give up my home relationships, my father and mother unfortunately kept me bound. No one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. But if you are merciful, even the lowest of men can take shelter at his lotus feet. Although I am unfit and greatly afraid to submit this plea, I nevertheless request you, sir, to be specially merciful towards me by granting me the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Placing your feet on my head, give me the benediction that I may achieve the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without difficulty. I pray for this benediction. After hearing this appeal from Raghunath Das, Lord Nityananda Prabhu smiled and told the devotees, Raghunath Das' standard of material happiness is equal to that of Indra, the King of Heaven. Because of the mercy bestowed upon him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das, although situated in such material happiness, he does not like it at all. Therefore, let every one of you be merciful toward him and give him the benediction that he may very soon attain shelter at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who experiences the fragrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna does not value even the standard of happiness available in Brahmaloka, the topmost planet, and what to speak of heavenly happiness. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is offered sublime poetic prayers by those trying to attain his favor. Thus he is known as Uttama Shloka. Being very eager to gain the association of Lord Krishna, King Bharat, although in the prime of his youth, gave up his very attractive wife, affectionate children, most beloved friends, and opulent kingdom, exactly as one gives up stool after excreting it. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu called Raghunath Das near him, placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head, and began to speak. "My dear Raghunath Das," he said, "since you arranged for the feast on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show you his mercy. By his gorgeous mercy, he ate all the chip rice and milk. Then after seeing the dancing of the devotees at night, he took his supper. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Hari, came here personally to deliver you. Now rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage have gone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept you and place you under the charge of his secretary, Srup Damodar. You will be thus become one of the most confidential internal servants and will attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being assured of all this, return to your home. Very soon, without impediments, you will attain the shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Nityananda Prabhu had Raghunath Das blessed by all the devotees, and Raghunath Das offered his obeisances to their lotus feet. After taking leave of Nityananda Prabhu, and then all the other Vaishnavas, Sri Raghunath Das consulted secretly with Raghava Pandit. It's interesting how Nityananda Prabhu is saying that, requesting all the devotees, please give your mercy also to Raghunath Das. And when Raghunath Das eventually goes, next time he runs away, he actually attains the shelter of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu keeps him with him in Puri, under the shelter of Sri Damodar. But when he blesses him also, then he asks all the devotees, "You should also bless him." We were reading in Srinivas's story, how he went to see the Lord at Jagannath Puri, and he found the Lord had just left. It's a very touching story. But then he went to see Garudha Pandit, and it is said that Garudha Pandit in the Bhakti Ragnaga, Garudha Pandit, he was simply waiting for Srinivas to come, to give him his blessings. It's mentioned that he was specifically waiting. It says that Garudha appeared to age very quickly. When after Mahaprabhu left, Garudha left maybe within a year, I think, I'm not sure. But anyway, he seemed to age very quickly, but it said that he was waiting for Srinivas to come. And then it goes on to mention all the other devotees, many of them, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Janavi Devi, many he met. It appears they were waiting for Srinivas to come so they could bestow his blessings. So it just doesn't seem like one person's blessing. It seems that Nityananda Prabhu, the Supreme Person, he's given the blessings. Obviously, he's, by his mercy, he's giving the blessings of Raghunath, but he says still he's got to go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and get blessings. And Mahaprabhu says you've got to get blessings from everyone. So this is one of the main purpose of this story, is that Raghunath does receive mercy from the Lord. We need mercy. We try. We pray hard. We cry. You need a lot of that. But on top of that, you need just one little drop of mercy. Of all our endeavors. You try like anything, but you just need one little drop of mercy on top of it. is our lifestyle. We're begging for mercy. But we can get just one drop. That's what makes everything worthwhile, what our penances and austerities and for those who observe Nijal. Krishna says, I noticed. I remember when the devotees leaving his vicinity. Maybe the Madhurya Kandambini, the advanced devotee. Then he's eventually leaving his body, last body, and Krishna appears before him. And he says, how can I ever forget you? All the service you rendered for me. Sometimes you fasted whole day, whole night. Sometimes you didn't even take water. Krishna says, I can never forget you, all of those, everything you did. So Krishna won't forget all those things, although we cannot capture Krishna by performing austerities or doing a Nijala Kodasi or becoming expert in so many devotional fields. Krishna is only captured and revealed by one who he wants to reveal himself to. That's all. So our service, our attitude to which we perform the service, this may attract Krishna to give one little drop of mercy. But in the meantime, we have to do a lot of everything else, devotional service. So here you got the so many times Raghunath Das tried to get away, but he couldn't get that mercy. He was going to Mahaprabhu. He never got the mercy. He went to Nityananda Prabhu, he got the mercy. Then he went to Mahaprabhu. He didn't have to come back. So the devotee of the devotee. But it's interesting how Pakni Raghunath mentioned all those places, all those personalities. It seems like they were waiting to give him blessings. Factually, it is like that. Either in while they were physically present here, they were giving their mercy like that. In the Navadipa Mahatmya, the Navadipa Bhattarang, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gets the mercy of the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnava Chataha Shambhu, and he says everything will be revealed. My order, Maya will retreat, everything will be revealed. And then his form is revealed as Kamala Manjari. He's in the trance-like state. But it's going on. But he meets this person, his guru is standing there, who happens to be Ananga Manjari. She reveals the Dharma. She explains so many things to him. Then she takes him to meet the other devotees. They have to meet Rupa Manjari. Because we are Rupa Nugas. So to get that mood of worship, of Rupa Manjari knows so well, it's her existence, her devotional sentiment, which is very satisfying to Radha and Krishna, because she's the assistance of Lalita and Vishakha. So that potency she gives personally. Now if you're a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the line of Rupa Goswami, then you'll personally meet and get that blessing of how to, the mood in which to approach Radha and Krishna, all the Lalita and Vishakha. So the guru was there, she introduced him to, Ananga Manjari introduced him to Rupa. Rupa introduced to Lalita and Vishakha. Lalita gave some instruction. So there's a hierarchy here. And to attain what they have got, you have to get it personally. It's not my relationship with Krishna direct. You have to get these devotional sentiments that are pleasing to Radha and Krishna from those persons who have it. So it's like that, the hierarchy is there. Here also, he's begging asking all the devotees, also you give your mercy to Raghunath Das so that he can fulfill his desires and take shelter of them. So this movement is such a personal movement. So we have to do that. We have to go through and meet all these personalities eventually. They were all here at that time 500 years ago, so they were given, he met them and they could give their blessing and impart that mood of devotional service. But anyway, they're still present in the upper Krapa Leela when when someone is satisfied with us, we have fairy godmothers or we have gurus who are looking after our interests. When they decide to bestow their mercy, then we can get entry into that realm and meet all these personalities, and we can attain all these proper devotional sentiments that are used for enhancing Radha and Madhava's pleasure. So this is one of the main points of this story of how Lord Nityananda Prabhu got the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Then he could approach Mahaprabhu, and all the other devotees gave him these blessings. Sri Panihati Chiradei Maho Sabaki. There's a festival at the Ganga today. It's the first time it's being done here. I think called Lord Prabhu. So there's a lots of devotees going. I think from the Grihastha community. I don't know if there's lots of people going because it's the first time, but they say there will be quite a few. They're making cooking preparations. It'll start, they'll do Harinam Kirtan. I think Gauranga Prem Maharaj will speak there, Shankarshan, about 10:30 or 11. But I think the program starts about 8:30. It goes on till about 1. So it's a similar thing. They're going to try and recreate the hot spatura and dahil. You get a salty one also. So that'll be going today if anybody's interested in getting the mercy. Those who are fortunate and lucky, they may be able to see Nityananda and Mahaprabhu coming and feeding the devotees. So you keep your mouth open and waiting for something. Make it a drop of mercy. As long as the seagulls are not flying. Okay. Online question. From Srimad Bhagavatam 5:10:21. I am not fatigued from the body. There is fatigue because of bodily labor, and it appears fatigue of the soul. King Rahugana continues, when you are carrying the palanquin, where there is certainly labor to the soul. Now the question, someone may argue that the soul never feels fatigued. Then what is the problem? What body we get? No name? He quotes Raghunath thus saying, carrying the palanquin is certainly labor to the soul. He says that? Labor to the soul? I can't remember that part. Anybody knows? It's in the somewhere. Stay in touch. We're going to get to that chapter soon. We're on the fifth canto. I think he'll be able to explain. I can't remember exactly how he's saying that there is labor for the soul. There is certainly labor for the soul. Sorry, anybody else? Tanga Tanga.
Someone's experiencing labor.
Okay.
Someone's the conscious of experiencing labor, so ultimately the consciousness from the soul.
Yeah, Pangajang is saying that, probably saying that there is labor, but who actually experiences it? It's certainly not the material body or the material elements. They're unconscious. So he's indicating that the soul is conscious of the labor.
Because he's identifying with the body and everything, and certain things, this is hard work. But actually, for the soul, it's not hard work.
Yeah. Jayadvaita was answering this question. I think Pancharatna Prabhu asked, referred me not this body so many times, so still it's. Still it's there. So then Jayadvaita was in one of his snappy answer moods, one line answer. So different devotees were making different propositions. And he would so then I said, now because we are part and because we're all pervading in the body, the soul is situated in the heart, but it's pervading throughout the body. So because we're all pervading, we're simultaneously one with and different from the body. He said, one with consciousness, how's that? He said, I said, because we're all pervading in this body, the soul is all pervading, therefore we're one with and different from the body. And he said, yes, one within consciousness, how's that? So like that, maybe. In consciousness, we feel like it's heavy, and the consciousness is the soul, it's not the material body. The consciousness is not from the material body, the material elements, but it feels like we're experiencing it's the body being fatigued. But it's actually the consciousness. So that was his reply. We're one with the body in consciousness. Anyway, we come to that chapter soon. Please stay tuned. Prabhu or Mataji, I come. It doesn't know name yet. Thank you anyway for a nice question. Shipani Hati Chirdai Mosap Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai, Nithai Gopi Manandi. Thank you very much.